The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
So I don't care if we're talking to single moms right now. I don't care if we're talking to stay-at-home moms, if we're talking to grandmothers, grandfathers. God has put a unique gift or gifts in every single one of us, and we will never truly be satisfied. And this took me a while to learn. We'll never be truly satisfied until we take what's uniquely in us, given by God, and multiply it for the benefit of others.
John Bevere encourages you to multiply your God-given potential next.
I'm James Robinson. I welcome you to Life Today. Now, Betty's not here. I'm going to tell you why. I'm talking to John Bevere and talking about every book that he and Lisa write. I think is just, it's really like a gift from God. But Betty's not here. This is an empty seat right now. Betty had something that you just didn't expect. She suddenly couldn't see out of the left side of her right eye. And we told our son, Randy. Our adopted son, Randy, had genetic macular degeneration. The retinas in each eye has been separated, and they've been repaired, and miraculously, Randy's so grateful he's been able to watch his children grow up because he was told that might be debatable, but he's done wonderful. But when Betty started describing it, he said, Mom and Dad, you got to get to the doctor now. He knew what was going on, and sure enough, I called the doctor that did surgery on one of Randy's eyes, and he said, be at my office at 10 o'clock in the morning, which was Sunday morning. And we were there. And he said, yes, a surgery, detached retina. So Betty had the surgery. Now, listen to me. She's doing wonderfully well. And we're praying for total healing. But just understand that's why she's not here. And your prayers are appreciated. You don't need to send a lot of notes or even emails. She wouldn't be able to read them as easily as she might like to, but just pray for us. John Bevere is here with me. John, I know how much you love Betty, and you love me and Betty and you and Lisa.
You're family.
Well, you're like family to us. And the fact that she says, I've kind of feel the father holding her heart, at least that's what she tells me.
Yeah, she tells people everywhere, James Robinson is my dad.
I'll take her.
She means it.
I'll take her. And
thanks for being her dad, because I got a better wife because you're a good dad.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've had some pretty meaningful conversations, too, about relationships. And the two of you, you might have needed a little inspiration and a little encouragement and instruction, but yep. It took. And don't you wish every truth that was ever shared in love would take with all the people you're trying to share it with? Probably why you wrote this book. You wanted to see some, you're talking about multiplication. Sounds to me like maybe you're talking about some kind of spiritual fruit or something and some actual positive fruitfulness and progress. Tell me about it.
Well, you know, I wanted to write this book for years, James, and I'm so glad God didn't let me do it because I made a covenant with God. I would not write a book unless He spoke to me. And last year, last October, He said, son, I want you to write it. And I'm so glad because it's the first book I've written feeling like a dad. Now, I'm not near the dad in the church that you are, but I am entering into that dad season. I'm 61 right now. A few years back, it was about 7 years ago. I mean, let me frame it like this, James. If somebody says to you, he has a call of God on his life, or she has a call of God on her life, where do our minds go? We think he's going to be a missionary. We think he's going to be a worship leader. She's going to be a worship leader. He's going to be a pastor. And so all that to say, every single child of God has a calling on their life. And Ephesians 2:10 is so clear about that. A few years back, I was in LA. I was going to speak at the Dream Center. And one of our partners who have given very generously to us, he saw I was going to be there. And he said, John, do you want to play Riviera? I said, oh my gosh, yes, absolutely. So we played Riviera. It was a great time.
This is golf, if you don't know.
James and I, it's our language. Yeah. So we're on the way back to the hotel, and he got a little vulnerable. He's a very successful businessman. He said, John, you know, I have worked so hard to build my businesses up to millions of dollars. He said, I personally am worth $9 million. My wife is cared for life. My children are cared for. He said, you know, I'm just turning 50. Why should I continue to work so hard over the next decade of my 50s as I have to build my businesses up to $9 million? And James, I looked inside and I had an answer. And I said, you know, I've written 17 books. I said, it takes a lot of time. I said, I've gotten on planes. I've flown to over 60 countries. I've, you know, eaten really strange food sometimes. Encountered cultures that I was totally not used to. 200 nights a year stayed in little tiny hotel rooms. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, my wife's cared for life. My children are cared for life. Why should I get on another plane and fly to another country? Why should I write another book? Now, he laughs at me. And he said, this is exactly what he said. He said, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes when you face Jesus. And I said, Stan, you just said the exact same words to me. And I remember his little smirk just totally left his face. And we're in downtown LA, and he looks at me, looks off the road, and looks at me and goes, what do you mean I just said the same thing? I said, Stan, God has placed a call on every single one of us, and that calling is to build his kingdom. And I said, with that calling comes unique gifts. And I said, we have a choice at any given time of what to do with those gifts, because we're stewards of them. We can do whatever we want with them. I said, we can use them as intended to build the kingdom. We can use them to build ourselves and our families. Or I said, we can just sit on them. And I said, my gift is speaking and writing. And I said, it's very easy for you to see how that builds the kingdom. I said, your gift is in the marketplace. Your gift is in the giving and marketplace. And I said, you haven't connected the dots. And I said, that's why you see me as a calling on my life and you don't see it. Well, that really, really shook him up in a good way. 6 months later, he said, you know, I'm working diligently to build my businesses up to 35 million plus, because he realized he had a purpose. And James, that got me to thinking, why did Mother Teresa live with such passion? Why did Billy Graham live with such passion? Every single one of us, if you look at Paul, says, you know, we're like a body, a human body. If you look at my body, my fingers can do things my eyes can't do. My nose can do things my toes can't do. My toes can do things that my liver can't do. Well, my Bible says the parts of the body that aren't seen are actually more valuable than the parts that are seen. So you and I have a seen part, mm-hmm. right? If you look at legs, legs get a lot of attention, correct? What a set of legs she's got. You know, what a set of legs he's got. You can live without a leg. I have a friend who was in an automobile accident. He still plays golf without a leg. But you can't live without a liver. And I've never seen anybody walk up to somebody and go, James, what a liver you got, man. That is amazing. Why? It's an unseen part, but it's very, very valuable. And when I was communicating to Stan that day in the car, I said, Stan, you have devalued what you do. You have valued what I do, but devalued, when in reality, chances are really good what you do is actually more valuable. So I don't care if we're talking to single moms right now. I don't care if we're talking to stay-at-home moms, if we're talking to grandmothers, grandfathers. God has put a unique gift or gifts in every single one of us, and we will never truly be satisfied. And this took me a while to learn. We'll never be truly satisfied until we take what's uniquely in us, given by God, and multiply it for the benefit of others. Mm-hmm. God's first command to man when he put him on the earth was be fruitful and multiply. He wasn't just saying have kids and populate the earth. Mm-hmm. He was saying anything I give to you, I want you to return it back to me multiplied. And so if you look at the Greek word charis, it's the Greek word for grace in the New Testament. So many Christians understand that it's forgiveness of sins, it's salvation, it's a free gift. But very few Christians really understand that charis in the New Testament actually is empowerment. Hmm. If you look at what God said to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness, which your weakness is your human inability. If you look at what Peter writes, he said, grace be multiplied to you as his divine power has given us everything we need to live in life and godliness. So Peter refers to grace as his divine power. Yet very few Christians, statistically, it's under 2% of the Christians in America understand that grace is God's empowerment. Mm. So another definition of grace in the New Testament would be God's empowerment that gives us the ability to go beyond our natural ability. Well, if you look at the Greek word charis and you put an M and an A on it, you get charisma. What is charisma? That is the specific gift of grace that God places on individuals in order for them to build the kingdom in the way he intended them to build the kingdom. Now, building the kingdom, we got to just make this simple. It's building lives. Mm-hmm. So, okay, we always have said these gifts have to stay within the four walls of the church. I mm-hmm. contend and say no. Mm-hmm. Just recently, I heard something that I hope I don't start crying, because I did yesterday on a podcast. A very good friend of mine has a church of over 30,000 people. Every year he does a leadership conference. And at that leadership conference, pastors and leaders come from all over the United States and around the world. He has a very well-known medical doctor in his church. And the medical doctor was putting out pamphlets. And my friend was walking through the sanctuary, and he saw the medical doctor, and he said, Doc, no, we've got volunteers. We've got interns that are going to do this. You don't need to be doing this. He said the doctor rebuked him politely and honorably, but he rebuked his pastor. And he said, Pastor, I take 1 week off my practice a year so I can serve in building the kingdom of God. Please don't take this away from me. That's what made my heart break. Because that means 51 weeks out of the year. There's only 52 weeks in a year. He goes into that office seeing himself doing something secular. And his sacred work for God is being done on that 1 week a year. When in reality, God has supernaturally gifted this man to be able to remove tumors, be able to fix an eye, and do all these other things, whatever a doctor has, in order to build the kingdom, but he hasn't connected those dots.
Right.
I mean, if a plumber goes in and fixes up something in a house, and that stay-at-home mom would have had to spend 2 hours cleaning up that toilet that overflowed, but now she's interceding, and 3,000 people get saved in Cambodia because she was interceding. He's not connecting the dots. It's not a seen function. And so I see people constantly when here they are, they're called by God into the marketplace, into government, into athletics, but yet they see themselves in the secular, when in reality it's all sacred.
Yeah,
and if they treated
is.
It like the sacred, they would have the same passion as you do, as Billy Graham did, as Mother Teresa did, because they would realize, even though I can't physically connect these dots, I can't mentally do it, I know that there is a reason for me having this gift, and I'm called to multiply this gift for the sake and the benefit of others. And I believe we would have a church with a lot more purpose if we really understood this.
If we could only understand that we are building, you keep saying it over, building the kingdom. He says the kingdom is at hand. He's only building one kingdom, and that's his kingdom.
Right.
We get distracted, like you kept talking about this gentleman being caught up in the secular world. We think that's not part of it. If you're doing what God divinely enabled you to do, gifted you to do, what you've been trained to do, and you're serving others, greatest in the kingdom is serving. That doctor needs to understand, that businessman, he's serving others. I don't care what you're doing, if you're building a house, or you're selling a house, or you're taking care of the landscaping, or you're sowing seeds. You're doing that to be fruitful, and the fruitfulness blesses the people in God's kingdom who are a part of His kingdom. I said to my grandson, Luke, which you know Luke very well.
We wish we could
hit the golf ball as far as he could
and
can. But anyway, Luke sent a picture on Facebook, and I get a lot of the pictures. He's my oldest grandson, and he's got two beautiful kids, a beautiful wife, and they have two beautiful dogs. And they were in the park the other day, and he's laying back. His little baby boy's here. His little girl's over here playing. There's his wife laid back. I said, Luke, do you realize that when you posted that picture, you were showing the whole world the kingdom of heaven that's at hand? That was God's will being done in you, the way you love your wife, you love those kids, you love those dogs, and you know you're reclining on God's planet in God's garden. That's kingdom living. Now, I got to believe somehow, and by the way, if I read this and this doesn't come out in here, I'm going to come back and have a talk with you. Because if we're not talking about getting people to understand we were left here, to show the whole world the kingdom of heaven revealed here on earth.
Yes, sir.
It can be done, His will, on earth as it is in heaven. And I think most people do the very same things that people did throughout the Old Testament. It's even with the disciples who've been with Jesus 3 years and He's about to ascend. Now you're going to set up this kingdom. And He said, stop discussing that. That kingdom's settled. You and I are going to be in heaven forever. We're going to have no disease, no death, no dissension, no division, no destruction. That's already settled. And we inherited the moment we got eternal life. Most people don't realize He also said, I give you abundant life, not necessarily abundance in life. I'm going to let you you overflow with life. Let's get excited about sharing the life of God that's in us. Now, if that's not what you're saying, then you and I are going to have a problem in the next
We're
program.
We're going to have a dad-son talk.
Do you agree that's what we've
that's
been left
exactly.
here? And you have gotten these books given away by the millions, the ones you've written. Well,
right.
guess who paid for them? People just like that who said, we're going to give a great book to somebody because of great love in our heart. The King is in us. He loves you. One of His servants wrote this, a message, and we get it out. And you could not give... You and Lisa are pretty good at doing stuff. You could not give these books away were it not for people watching right now or people who support what you're doing. Am I right about that?
That's absolutely right. Well, actually, that businessman that I'm talking about is a good friend. And we have given now over 41 million resources
Isn't
to
beautiful?
Pastors and leaders in 226
and
nations.
And when you say we, you're encompassing that whole
I'm talking
part
about
of the body,
him.
The body
I'm talking
of,
about him.
That guy
and, you know,
alone?
When Lisa and I spoke to 3,500 pastors and leaders from all over the Middle East in Yerevan, Armenia a few years ago. And I'll never forget this. There were, you know, the auditorium was packed, but they had a separate auditorium that sat 1,000. We had a lot of pastors from Iran, from Syria, and from Afghanistan. So we brought them into that auditorium. No cameras were allowed, nothing. And I looked at them and I said, you see Lisa and I as the heroes. We're not the heroes. Because we've put over 1.5 million resources in the hands of Iranians, okay? I said, the heroes are the businessmen and businesswomen that have given millions of dollars to resource you, and that whole auditorium, including Lisa and I, start bawling, right? And this pastor from Iran came up to me and said, why would businessmen, why would businesswomen give money to us they've never met? And I said, because they have the love of God in their hearts for you. But, you know, what if he decided, oh, I want to go teach the Bible in my church, and I'm going to be a janitor in my church, and I'm not going to work my business anymore. Where would all the money that he has given to give to feed those pastors and leaders overseas, to feed the kids' empty stomachs in places that you and I have gone to, like Angola, where would that come from? And so I believe with all of my heart that everyone needs to realize the value of what they do, whether it's a single mom, a school teacher, a nurse in healthcare. They need to understand there is a gifting in them.
And even their prayers. Don't sell that short. You're moving mountains with prayers, John. This isn't Oprah, so I don't have an hour. And we've got to take another step here. And that is, we're going to say to everybody watching that what you and I've seen, you just referenced it in Angola. We saw where thousands of little children in small graves were buried.
Yeah.
They didn't get to be 5 years old. But we watched literally thousands of lives change right now in the pandemic has hurt because not necessarily that they got the disease, but the pandemic kept anything from coming to them or the workers and the delivery systems and bringing things in that they have to live. And now then it becomes even more critical because there are more of them now coming to try to just find enough food now to live. Everything has been disrupted. These viewers, and you know because we were there, they're the ones that make it possible for us to feed the starving, drill fresh water wells for those that have never had clean water. And in a sense of the word, those people are really building the kingdom and multiplying the love and blessing of God. Let me just say this. This is online. It's in the bookstores. But I want to tell you something, because what John, I believe, is trying to show you is how valuable every member of the body of Christ is. You're going to see that because God has gifted John and Lisa both to not only communicate, but to write with great gifting from God, anointing. We're going to send this to you if you'll just help us. And we have some other gifts to bless you with. If you will help us right now deal with the biggest killer perhaps on the planet, it would run close to contaminated water, and that is malnutrition.
Mm-hmm.
You are the miracle answer. Yes, you are. You are the one that multiplies the blessings of God and brings forth the fruit that transforms life and gives life now and because of the missionaries and the message of Jesus forever. I want you to watch closely and then know you really are not just an answer, you're God's answer to the challenge you see.
I am a mother's worst nightmare. I thrive on the pain of children. I do not discriminate, and I show no mercy.
You look into the eyes of a child who's seriously malnourished, and there's just nothing. It's like somebody just turned the light off.
You won't see me coming, but you will soon hear me in your children's cries. My touch brings bloated stomachs, thinning hair that changes color, painful skin disorders, and tiny bodies so thin and frail they appear as living skeletons.
And to see this little helpless one with the skin literally peeling off his arms and his legs was such a horrifying sight.
I am slow but sure. My name is malnutrition, and my legacy is death.
I heard someone on the news one day make a comment about the devastating deaths of children in some countries in Africa, and yet the reporters suggested that perhaps the mothers there were more accustomed to that because it's very much part of their life. I've seen with my own eyes what I knew in my gut. No mother will ever become accustomed to burying a child. The thing that really has blown me away the most, all of this is reversible.
Yeah, I want to say a real straight thank you for not looking away. I was watching on the monitor what you were seeing. It's so easy to turn away from those terribly malnourished children, but when you turn away, there's no hope. Jesus wouldn't turn away. He'd say, suffer the little children to come unto me, forbid them not. Listen to me. What you saw is tragic, but the miracle cure is perfect. We don't have to search for the cure. We know exactly what it is. It's not a new type of surgery. It is actually taking what's in your hands and offering it in love. It is to give them the food, the nourishment they need. John, you have been right there in Angola. You've seen it where the children were trying to get into the barrels because we ran out of food to scrape food. You have seen it, the danger that's there. You've seen the death and destruction.
Yeah.
It is more painful than even those pictures made clear.
It is.
I'm not exaggerating, am I? But what about the effectiveness of the love our viewers share? Because the missionary said, the viewers who support what we do are the greatest expressions of God, we believe, on earth. What's your comment concerning that?
Before the program, I thought about all the little tiny graves we saw. It was the first thing he showed me when we landed. I couldn't believe it. It was like 30, 40, 50 of them in one location. And then I remember when we went out to that remote place and the kids started sensing that the food was running out. It was a riot. It was absolute chaos because those kids thought, I'm not going to get a meal today. So it's so important, James.
What Betty prayed, and I remember when God gave her the prayer, God, please let the line to feed them always be longer than the line to be fed. And that's really what you're talking about when you talk about multiplication. I'm asking you right now, and I don't know the challenges you faced. I told you a challenge Betty's going through right now, and I know you will pray for her, and I know you care deeply. But here's the thing. You know, when she did that surgery, we're just hoping for that miracle-gifted individual's gift to come through so Betty doesn't lose her sight. But what we have now is not wishful thinking. If you give right now, as an example, $30, $50, or $100, we can feed 3, 5, or 10 children. And I'm going to plead with you, because of the horrible effect of the pandemic worldwide, the crisis is greater than ever. And I'm praying that you will think in terms of 100, because 3, 5, 10, 30, 50, 100. Could you give 100? Could you give several hundred? Could you give 1,000 and feed 100? Father, I'm asking you to work a miracle of love through everyone watching and let them express your heart. Will you become that much needed miracle? Will you become that certain miracle? Please get up and get your bank card. Dial the number on the screen or go online. And you use that card like a check. If you write a check, make it to life. But you make the best gift you can, knowing you're giving the greatest gift. You're giving the miracle of life. And it's because of the miracle of God's love flowing through you. Please do it. We have some gifts to send you. We'll send you John's book. Also, just to say thank you, if you'll just help save some of these lives. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Today, on top of the daily fight for life and food, families and children across Africa are now forced to deal with the challenges of a global health crisis. Because of COVID-19, food scarcity has increased drastically, and the fear of dying from lack of food is far greater than the virus itself. Even in these unprecedented times, Mission Feeding won't stop. With your help, Mission Feeding will continue to be a daily source of food, encouragement, and health for the 350,000 children counting on us. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 that will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you 40 Days of Healing Promises. This beautiful hardcover devotional will encourage you in your faith as you dive deep into the healing promises that are yours in Jesus' name. With your gift of $100 or more, please request a Blessings for Your Home Bowls and Tea Towels set. This set of bowls and 2 beautifully designed tea towels will make a wonderful addition to your home and serve as a reminder of your help in blessing others as a friend of life. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, I'm trusting God that you are making the gift. We want to send you this beautiful, these beautiful cloths. These are little towels you can hang or display, and the greatest is love. 40 Days of Healing Promises. We just really felt like sharing the miracles with the pandemic and the crisis that we face would be a real blessing. We've got the beautiful bronze. If you can give $1,000 or more to, you know, really just save a lot of kids' lives, we'll send you A Mother's Strength. And if you help us today and you'd like to have John's book, just ask for it. I know, John, I think you'd be really happy to know that your book blesses people who are blessing people and building the kingdom. We're going to talk again tomorrow, and I want you just to expand a little bit on this. I'm excited about what you're doing. Thank all of you for watching. Don't miss tomorrow. Tell your friends. John Bevere is going to be back on Life Today.
Using our unique gifts to build God's kingdom tomorrow.
This is when we begin to distinguish ourselves, and that is when people now want to listen.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.